Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LiveParanormal.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Live Paranormal Radio Show. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and without further ado, let's bring in Rob. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. I think it's going. It's going. Yeah. How's it going over there?
It's going.
That's
it's
true.
Going great here at the unofficial Live Paranormal studio, because yeah, it's kind of the weather was so bad this week that they actually named the storm.
Yeah, I saw that. So weird. I don't recall them naming winter storms. Then again, I really don't watch the news at all. And yeah, as for the weather, I kind of just recently started looking, because before I was just like, I guess whatever's coming from the sky is what it is. Because, you know, they were 100% in the past, at least, not 100%, maybe, you know, 95% inaccurate with weather. But I noticed with the one storm like a week or two ago, it was actually on point. It actually started exactly when they said it was going to, and it really impressed me. And that's when I realized how off they've been in the past and how on point they were. And I was rather impressed. So kudos to the weather people.
It's just sad how the standards are so low that
yeah,
it actually impressed you that that actually came to fruition.
It did, and I was like blown away. Really, I was just like, that never happens, and it happened. So, yeah, I was pretty sure it was the end of time.
But, you know, especially since we travel a ton, and the way I look at it is, if I personally travel and it does not call for snow in any forecast anywhere,
no one will
actually come up with, it's going to snow. It will snow. I tell people that. I'm like, what you need to do is find out my travel schedule, and you can base everything you do that's weather-oriented on my travel schedule.
Like,
oh, look,
right.
He's not traveling this weekend. This will be a great weekend to do whatever we want to do, because there'll be no snow. Even if it calls for snow, it will not snow. You know, hey, he's going investigating today, we better go get, like, extra food and stuff, because it's going to be a bad one.
Right. Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that. I think you're highly accurate. You're on it.
It is. I think we've come across an investigation where it was, like, almost June, and we had, like, the latest snow in the history of, like, Ohio. It was like, you know, we made a joke about it. It's going to snow again, you know, and it was like coming in on June. And lo and behold.
There it did it. I remember that. That was nuts.
The first time, like, at the end of May, it's ever snowed in the history of Ohio. And, you know, and Ohio's got, like, a pretty strong snow history, so.
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah, I can totally agree with that one. Yeah, it was definitely a weird one, for sure.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I just thought of this now. Is my parents were just so happy that there was an awful snowstorm during my birthday this year, because I was actually born during, like, one of the most predominant snowstorms in, like, the U.S. history. And, like, I got stuck in the hospital for, like, weeks, and I don't know the actual story because I can't remember it. But it was actually snowing really bad again this year, and they always enjoy talking about their it scarred them, I guess, because, you know, they still talk about it. The fact that I was born during that awful winter storm of, like, 77, 78, you know, maybe that's how it all started.
It could be. Maybe there's some legitimacy to that story.
Maybe. I'll have to look back and see. Like, maybe they didn't even call for snow then, and it was just like it started because I was born.
You are the reason.
It was, like, not,
for all
it was supposed
snow.
To be sunny and 60. And that's when it all started. So I'll have to research that.
I'm not sure that that's the case, given I know your birth date, and in the weather, statistically speaking. Don't think that forecast would have been the case. But, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, we... I have no segue into the paranormal based on snow, but it's relevant for us. And, I'm excited for tonight's show. And like I said, a lot
Me
of times
too.
I say I'm excited for a show, and sometimes I'm not that excited. But, you know, we have a great guest. She's part of the live paranormal team here, and we're kind of giving her the spotlight on tonight's show to talk about her book. And I think we have a contest, too, we're going to kind of release and talk about the upcoming contest.
Love
so,
it.
Well, why don't we bring Alex on and
yes.
go from
Let's
there.
Let's do it. Okay. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Nikki. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Got my jacket on and some hot cocoa and, you know, just chilling out in my box-filled office right now since I just moved.
Oh, moving is just so not fun.
Oh, my gosh. It's the worst thing ever. I already told my fiance, I'm like, we're probably going to end up, like, living the rest of our lives and dying here because I never want to move again.
Yes, I can't even imagine, like, moving. I just have so much stuff, and even just going to work, I feel like I move in every day, let alone if I stay overnight. I can't even imagine the idea of moving absolutely everything. It's just like, oh, yeah, that's what nightmares are made of.
Right, and I got rid of a lot of stuff. I mean, I got rid of so much stuff, and I still had a lot of stuff left, so... Yeah, I'm getting my desk tomorrow, and so I can kind of consolidate some of this mess. But it's still a lot of stuff, and I'm like, why the hell do I need this much stuff? And but then I look go through it all, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's important. Okay. So yeah.
So is this your new writing desk? Where all the magic's going to happen from this point forward?
Well, it's going to be writing magic, work magic, probably making videos for my YouTube channel magic, most likely, because I'm trying to, like, actually plan ahead of, like, okay, would this make a good background? And luckily with my job, they're like, oh, yeah, we embrace you who you are, and, you know, if you're into, like, weird stuff, that's cool. And I'm like, okay, cool. So Ouija boards in my work background, let's do it. But there's a side of me that's like, that might make a few people nervous. So I decided to, like, get a U-shaped desk so that I can, like, and then decorate, like, my walls differently. So, you know, I'll have my spooky wall. I'll have my professional work-life wall.
I love it. It's a good idea.
You need a rotating
bookshelf or something, so like you can like turn it one way, and you know, something that's like really high tech, or press a button and the next thing you know, like, it just turns by itself. It's probably expensive, but it seems like it'd be a great idea.
You know, I mean, I'm game for that if I, you know, depending how much it is. It might make my life a lot easier. Otherwise, I'm just rotating my office chair and rotating a camera. So we'll see how it goes.
Either way, I
think it's probably easier, but I think the coolness factor of just being able to, like, turn a bookshelf around and, you know, now it's paranormal, now it's not. You know, it's kind of neat.
It is a cool factor. Yes, that would be a cool factor.
It is.
Yeah.
So,
good times.
Yeah, so we wanted to talk about your book. You know, and I feel like we have you on, you know, as part of our segment. You know, that's something new that we just started before, you know, kind of toyed with it and stuff right before the end of the year. And now, you know, moving forward, it's great to have you on board, but we never really talk. We by the time we get to, you know, the little bit of banter and a little bit of news and stuff, we haven't really talked about your book and some of your experiences.
Yeah.
You know, we've asked what you've been up to and stuff, but we've never, you know, like, introduced you properly to our audience, and especially try to, you know, introduce your book. So I saw it and I wanted to you know, talk about that and the experiences and what people can expect if they do buy it, where they can buy it, and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, cool. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, and you know what's interesting about your book is, like, in all honesty, I've gotten a lot of free books, and I've looked at a lot of books, and just they all seem to, like, blend together. And your story on this is much different than I've seen. You know, the person, and it's usually like the memoirs of my investigations, and you know, in your books, I always enjoy, but it seems like this one has been such different. Just picking it up and looking at it, or reading what you have posted on the internet, it's definitely unique. You know, it's a cool story, and I think that's what makes it you know, interesting to us to talk about, rather than just, because, like, we could have you on and talk about it, but it's actually really, really cool, and we're excited to, you know, hear about what you have to say, and hopefully our listeners are as well.
Yeah, it's definitely one of my, I mean, if you look at the rest of my books compared to this book, I mean, this new book is definitely different from what I usually write, and I didn't really expect to write a book about it. Had the Haunted Hospitals episode not happened, I might have written a book about it. I'm not sure. It's from a very different chapter of my life, which, you know, which is probably why it's so different from the rest of my books.
Right.
So how much do you, when you do interviews and you talk about your book, how much do you give away? Just the general information, or like how much can we get out of you tonight?
You can probably get a good, if you've seen the Haunted Hospitals episode, then you already know the destination. You already know what happens in the end. But there was a lot of stuff in the, and just for full disclosure, I think Haunted Hospitals did a great job in telling my story. I mean, with the time restraint that they had, I was sitting in that chair in the studio for like 3 hours, just constantly telling my story, and a producer asking me questions and, you know, all of that stuff. And they had to condense those 3 hours into like 18 minutes, I think is how long my segment was. So they did a really good job of hitting like the important points of the story. But of course, with such a time constraint like that, you can't capture the entire story. And that's actually why I wrote the book, because I was like, well, there are some things that happened with my story that the episode didn't quite capture, or it was captured, but depending on how you look at the episode, it might get twisted a little bit. So I wanted to make sure like the full story was out there in some form, so that if anyone was curious about, okay, well, what actually happened to her, this, you know, then the book would help answer those questions. So, and you don't even have to watch the episode to get the book, because the book stands on its own. I've actually had a lot of people read the book and then watch the episode, and they're like, oh, okay. So I see the major points that they hit, but I also see like what they missed and why you wrote the book in the first place. So, yeah.
Awesome.
So you talk about the story and the experience. And for those who have not watched the episode or have not looked at the book yet, what can you tell us about that experience? That, you know, so if you were trying to tell someone, hey, this is what happened to me, you might want to check out the book. How much are you willing to give away just in the free version of telling us?
Yeah. So I was in a really, really bad car accident New Year's Eve 2005, literally the last day of 2005. I got into it was just kind of like a string of bad luck of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I was on my way. This is a short version. There's a lot more details that go into this, but the short free version, I guess we'll say. I was on my way to a New Year's party, and it was raining that night. And I had actually hydroplaned in my car on a freeway ramp. And then when I got, my car was going to have to be towed. And so I got out of the car. Another car came, and actually hit me so hard that I flipped onto the hood of the car and I rolled off the car, but I also rolled off the guardrail. So I ended up falling 25 feet off the ramp to the road below. Needless to say, I had to go to the hospital. they had to pick me up. They picked me up by ambulance. I was not in great shape at all. I had a lot of internal bleeding happening, kind of fading in and out of consciousness. And when I got to the hospital, so you got to remember, it was raining on New Year's Eve. The hospitals were absolutely packed. And I lived in a major city. I lived in San Diego, which is not a small town at all. So the hospitals were overrun between New Year's Eve traffic and also the rain, because Southern Californians cannot drive in the rain. to the point where I was sharing a trauma room. You know, usually, you know, with trauma rooms and trying to save someone's life, it's like one person per room because there's a lot going on and, you know, they have to fit like 20 people into the room because everyone's working to try to keep you alive. And I was actually sharing a trauma room with another individual, and he was in far worse shape than I was. And while the doctors were working on me and trying to keep me alive, I just happened to look over, literally one bed over, that's where the book title comes from. I look over and I see this other guy and he's on his bed and all I see is just like red. He's covered in blood. There's blood dripping onto the floor. I can hear him screaming. And one of the nurses working on me noticed that I was staring at him. And so she got a frosted divider to put between us. And, it helped, but it didn't help because then all I saw was like a red blur on the other side of the glass. And of course I'm drifting in and out of consciousness. I'm also freaking out a bit because I'm like, holy cow, am I going to die? Because I think the guy next to me is dying. I'm not exactly sure what's happening. And then I don't know what happened, but I don't know if it was like an out of body experience or I had died, or my body was just trying to find a way to cope with the pain because they couldn't give me any pain medication because my blood pressure was so low. So they didn't want to like basically exacerbate my situation and possibly kill me by giving me pain meds. So I was feeling everything as they were working on me. And I had this out-of-body experience, and I describe it as an out-of-body experience. I don't know. I don't think it was a near-death experience. I mean, I almost died, but I didn't see a light or anything. I was able to see everything happening outside of my body. And I was able to like actually go into the waiting room where my mom was and seeing that all of our friends and our family had come to the hospital to like support us. And I was back in front of my body, like watching them work on me. I looked over and I saw a man standing at the foot of the bed on the bed next to me. And then we locked eyes. I felt like I was going down a roller coaster, and the next thing I knew, I was back in my body. Long story short, I ended up, obviously, I survived. I vertically sheared my pelvis, so basically I broke my pelvis in half, broke a few vertebrae in my back, completely shattered my tailbone. So I was in the hospital for a bit, and even just on the first night I was in the hospital and staying overnight, I was noticing like weird things happening in my room and like seeing a shadow. And then I ended up seeing the guy that was standing at the foot of the bed. 19-year-old Alex, you know, and keep in mind, this was way before I was investigating the paranormal. Ghost Hunters, the TV show, was just a few months old when this happened. So there wasn't the paranormal community that we know of today did not exist back then. It existed in its way, but it was more underground, if you know what I mean. So I didn't really know jack about anything about the paranormal. I had had experiences growing up, but I didn't really understand what was going on. So when I saw the man in my room, I was naive and I thought, oh, he came up to visit me. How nice is that? But why does he look so pissed off? So, like, oh, he's here, but he's really mad. Why is he mad? And then just like weird things were happening, like stuff was moving by itself, you know, feeling a lot of tension in the room, seeing shadows. And then I guess this was these were the days before really HIPAA was something to be taken seriously. But my mom and I did ask my charge nurse, saying, we said, you know, hey, what happened to the man that was next to me the night I came into the hospital? And you know, she did some investigating and she's like, yeah, he died. So, which weirded me out, because I'm like, wait a minute, I saw him in my room like later that night. You're telling me he didn't survive. Okay, great. So, yeah, and I ended up having surgery to repair my hip. So they gave me a couple choices. They said, you know, you can let your hip, you can let your pelvis heal the way that it is now, but one leg is going to be shorter than the other, because the way that I broke it, like one side of my pelvis went up, like it went up like a couple inches. And so the surgeon's like, you know, you could just leave it the way it is. You're going to have to wear a special shoe for the rest of your life. You're going to be disabled. And he's like, but on the other hand, we can repair your hip. You will be disabled eventually, but this is going to give you some normalcy, you know, for maybe the next couple decades. The only caveat is that if we hit the wrong nerve, you're going to lose feeling in your feet. So I'm sitting here weighing my options, and I'm like, okay. Right. I'm like, okay, well, let's give the surgery a try, and please don't nick that nerve if you can.
Do the best you can, buddy. Right, thanks.
Do the best you can. Yeah, so when I went under for the surgery, that was when I saw this man, like, in his, like, full form, and the entire time, like, I was kind of, like, just frozen with fear in, like, this dream state, and he just kept screaming at me, why you and not me? Why do you get to live, and why did I have to die?
Oh,
and
wow.
So, yeah. So we were dealing with, you know, in the book I do try to debunk myself a little bit, too, just trying to rationalize things a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe this was me with, like, survivor's guilt and processing my trauma. I've had some trauma since the accident, and I've never manifested something I could see with my eyes since then.
Right.
So there's that. So basically this entity was angry that I survived that night and he did not. And so he ended up sticking around for almost a year, and just,
oh,
like, seeing him around the hospital, seeing him at my house. I mean, he was a constant at my house, but I would even see him at school, even when I went out. Like, he was just, like, attached to me. But it got to a point where I I've been in an abusive relationship, so, I mean, I can say this with experience and not just throwing it around. It was like I had normalized the situation, and so it was kind of like almost like not Stockholm syndrome. I didn't fall for him, but I definitely normalized his presence and the constant torment he was putting me through. And it's, you know, just living in that constant state of, like, panic of, like, is he going to come into my room today? Where am I going to see him? It wasn't until, like, he physically assaulted me, not, you know, like in a sleep paralysis type of thing, except I wasn't asleep, and literally, like, knocking things, like, around in our house because I was living with my mom at the time, that we finally, like, called somebody in.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't until he got, like, actually physical that we were like, okay, it's time to get some intervention. But even if he wasn't, like, getting physical, it was just that constant thing of, like, am I going to see him when I walk around the corner? Or is he going to come into my dreams again and cuss me out for surviving this car accident, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow, that's a lot.
It is.
That's pretty intense.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wowzers.
Yeah,
so you're
recovering
and dealing with that. Like, that's just like beyond me. That's a lot to handle. And at the age that you were at, having to handle all of that, you know, is just like,
yeah,
wow. I just don't have words. That's wow.
Yeah. And the thing was, it's like, as I got better, the activity got worse. It was like,
ooh,
as my life was kind of returning to normalcy,
mm-hmm,
it was getting worse. Like, it was almost like he was resenting the fact that my life was getting back to normal. And he was trying to make mm-hmm sure that it never did go back to normal type of thing. Yeah. 'Cause I noticed like, things would especially get bad after, like, I had physical therapy or milestones of, like, oh, I don't need a wheelchair anymore. I just need a cane or I just need a walker. 'Cause I went through all those stages. I mean, because, you know, when you basically break the lower half of your body, you're kind of living like an elderly person end of life. I mean, we're talking like the walker to the bathroom. You had the bench in the bathtub and like, you know, those elevated toilet seats that, you know, those things you put over the toilet so that you don't have to squat
right
down so low. Like, I had
those
all those
awesome
things. So I'm basically, I know you don't have
to
totally relate,
down,
right?
Rob can relate to many things in your story here, actually.
I was
yes
about to say,
multiple
yeah
times. Multiple
yeah
times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it was like, I actually had to sleep in the downstairs bedroom with, you know, we still had my grandma's hospital bed from when, you know, she was towards the end of her life, you know, those hospital beds you have in your home, then they elevate and you can lower
oh
them
yeah
and, you know, you got your little tray. You know, it's a different way of living. And, mm-hmm, but as those things were going away and I was returning to like a normalcy, the activity mm-hmm ended up getting much worse. But I will say, like, experiencing that activity while still in a wheelchair and unable to really run, that was
wow, yeah,
pretty traumatic.
Yeah, that
yeah
has, that's a whole nother level. So, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rob,
yeah,
aren't
now,
you glad you
when,
didn't have anybody follow you home?
So, yeah, you know, that's the thing. The only thing I remember from my last surgery, which was just about a year and a half ago, was waking up and the nurse telling me, hey, moron, remember you have to breathe. And I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, I remember
oh
that
my
part. That's just like, you need to breathe. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I got it. Apparently, I wasn't breathing. You know, I just got to breathe on your own. She's like, hey, remember.
Optional,
and
right.
I was coming out of it, yeah. And
mm-hmm.
But that was a whole weird thing. Then they also told me, hey, you're not going home. Or you're going home. You're not going up to the room that you're supposed to be in for 2 days.
Thank you,
COVID. And yeah, while I was in surgery, the head of the hospital decided there'll be no more overnight stays. It was kind of like one of those things where they had no. They just because it was an accident.
You got your eviction notice.
I had to have
surgery. You got your eviction notice. They were like, "You're evicted."
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Time is right. You gotta go.
So, at 43 years old, they had to call my dad, and my dad had to come and they threw me in the back of his car. It was ridiculous.
Oh my god!
But
my,
and they're like, I'm like, well, is this okay? And they're like, no, this is not standard at all. I'm like, what happens? They're like, if it turns purple or black,
we'll
you can't
see
feel your leg. You must call 911. Yeah, I was like,
reassuring.
Oh my
god!
Yeah, reassuring.
But that whole thing was weird. Like, I don't know if you ever saw that 28 days later. It was like that. Like, I was the only one in the hospital. The lights were all off, and like the soda machine was on and flickering. And then they came and took me into pediatric intensive care to have surgery because that was their safe zone.
And he's telling me all this, and I'm like, "You're full of it." I was like, "No, it isn't." He goes, "Yes." And why am I home already? Don't you want to know why? And I'm like, "Well, yeah, really? Why?" I'm confused.
Oh my
yeah
god. Yeah.
But so I have had some experiences with surgery. Over the last like 5 years, unfortunately. And my questions after hearing your story are this. So obviously that's what I remember waking up. I don't remember going under. I don't remember anything. And you know, your story is not commonplace. So were you sensitive prior to your accident? Or do you feel this all revolves around your accident and having like an out-of-body experience? Or do you think like you were sensitive prior to and that's maybe why you had this experience?
You know, that's been a question that I've had since I really started like diving into paranormal research and actually that whole experience was the reason why I became a paranormal researcher, because I'm like, what the freak happened to me? I need to better understand.
I need
that.
Answers.
yeah, exactly. And what's so interesting is since that experience, I don't consider myself sensitive or psychic or anything like that. If anything, sometimes I'm like, when people are like, oh, I feel things, and I'm like, I don't feel crap. I sometimes wonder if that experience traumatized me so much that I ended up building walls and closing myself off.
Right.
Yep. That turned it off.
Yeah.
Cause you know, before that, you know, I had, because I opened the book with basically like my experience with the paranormal up until the accident, because I felt like that was important, because, you know, if you just start off with the accident, people might just go, well, did you have experiences before? And it's like, well, yeah, I did. I had a few experiences. I mean, compared to the accident, I mean, they're relatively minor, but I remembered seeing a lot more, and part of me was like maybe attributing that to, well, I was young, I was a kid, and kids are more vulnerable, or they're more prone to seeing things. And then the accident happened, and I mean, sometimes I might see a few things, like shadows and stuff, but I have not seen anything vivid like that, man. The only other time I really saw anything vivid like that was this ballerina dancer I saw at the theater I was doing a show at, which wasn't contextual with the show I was working on. I mean, I was doing Peter Pan the musical. There was no ballet dancers in it. and she ended up like disappearing right in front of me. So, so I think that whole experience, I think it really closed me off, which, there's a part of me that's like, well, do I really want to reopen that? Do I really want to see this stuff again? So I think I might have had some sensitivities before then. My mother definitely had some sensitivities, as did my grandmother and my great-grandmother. There's a lot of really spooky, weird Appalachian stuff tied with my grandmother's side of the family. And anyone who like lives in Appalachia, like in that area, or knows like of the spookiness in the woods and everything, that's all I gotta say. And you know, sometimes I'll feel things like, but I can't really detect what it is. Like I can kind of feel like emotions type of thing. Like, oh, there is a spirit here, but they're kind of annoyed with us and they're not really feeling it. But, but I can't say, oh, I'm sensing a female and she's in her 20s and, you know, she's looking for her baby. You know, I can't. but even then, when I get those feelings, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm sensing someone's really annoyed, and I'll look at my teammate and I'll be like, is it you? You know, it's like, are you annoyed?
Right.
I think that whole experience ended up closing me off a bit. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe I did have something prior to the accident. I think the whole events of the accident freaked me out so much that I was like, nope, we're done. Lock it,
no more, thank
close
you.
The door,
right.
Throw away the key, throw it in the river. Never again. Subconsciously.
Right?
No, when you talked to the nurse or the staff there, did they say that you almost died, or you know, was there no report of like that?
There was. You know, while they were working on me, the one thing, and this is something that I think haunted hospitals did a really great job with, I was fading in and out, and they were like, stay with me, Alex, stay with us, Alex. And after I had that out-of-body experience, I passed out for I don't know how long. When I woke up, there was a guy cleaning my face. Cause I mean, I hit my head, I had blood on my face and everything. And, the nurse who was taking me up to my room, she came in. They had to do an MRI on me before they were going to take me up to my room. And she was like, oh, yeah, we almost lost you there. And my mom, like, confirmed that, too. Like, I was basically, like, my blood pressure was dangerously low, and I was losing a lot of blood. So I had to have a transfusion. I think they had to give me 2 or 3 bags of blood. Yeah, apparently I was bleeding out of every orifice that there was in my body, which is great to hear. Yeah, because I had some internal damage. Because the weirdest thing with the way that I fell, I basically landed on my butt almost. My hip took the impact, but I didn't crack any ribs. I didn't break, like, I didn't, like, sever my spinal cord. I didn't even break my arm or my wrist. I didn't break a leg. I did take a pretty bad bang to the head, and I still have a dent in my head to this day on my forehead, which is, you know, weird to have a little bit. if I don't put on makeup, sometimes you can see it. Yeah, so most of the trauma I had was more of, like, in my organs. Like my liver took a hit. Kidneys were kind of banged up, but, you know, nothing terrible. My pancreas took a pretty bad hit, and I actually ended up developing diabetes because of it. Not just because of the bad eating habits, but they were like, oh, there's trauma on your pancreas, huh? You know,
right.
Yeah. So my internal organs took a bit of a hit, and you know, there was blood in my stomach, and I was in the right place at the right time for, you know, all of that to be taken care of. So most of that trauma was, most of the fading in and out of consciousness and almost dying was due to blood loss.
Right. Wow, that's just, I didn't know that. Like, I've known you for years, and I did not know this. So, like, you know, it's all, yeah, like, whoa.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's one of those things I've never really talked about because, it was also way before my paranormal life. And not that it was a source of, like, oh, why didn't you, like, do this, and this? And I'm like, well, that's kind of before it was, like, a main point of my life. Now, if the accident happened now, I mean, I'd probably be in my wheelchair getting my equipment and being like, hang on, dude. Got to get my recorder. It's in the other room.
Hold
on, I feel myself,
buddy.
Right. I get it. You're pissed.
I
need you to
too.
Hold that thought, though. I need my camera.
Can you talk right into the microphone and tell me why you're so angry? Yeah. Exactly.
but also, it was one of those things where if anyone knew me in San Diego, after that time, I always kind of became the girl who was in the car accident. It became a big part of my identity. You know, and you kind of get that, not just survivor's guilt, but there's that survivor's pressure of like, oh, you were given this gift. What are you going to do with this gift? And, you know, especially knowing that somebody, I mean, many people died on that night on New Year's Eve 2005. I mean, I was dating an EMT. I dated an EMT off and on, and he was like, oh, yeah, I remember hearing your call that night. And, you know, a lot of people died that night. Like, for a New Year's night, it was probably had the highest rate of death. And the guy that was haunting me, he died from a motorcycle accident. And, I mean, rain, New Year's Eve, motorcycle, does not mix. And, yeah, so it was one of those things where I talked about it a little bit, like, when I was getting into the paranormal, you know, just a smidge, though. I didn't really want to go into, like, the whole, because I had seen other people really dive into, like, their personal experiences, and it kind of dominated the conversation, and I didn't want to dominate the conversation. It was more of like, oh, yeah, I had this happen, and I was still also processing that trauma of, like, do I really want to dive back into that? And there was also a part of me that was a little paranoid of, like, if I talked about it too much, he might come back.
Well, it happened. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it wasn't until Haunted Hospitals contacted me. You know, I had told a few paranormal people at this point about it, because, you know, you always get the whole origin story of like, oh, how'd you get into this? And I usually just give the vague responses of like, oh, I had experiences when I was a kid. But I decided to be vulnerable with a few people, and they ended up passing that on to a producer from Haunted Hospitals. And they had my permission. It was fine. And so they contacted me, and they're like, hey, you know, let's hear more about the story. And I'm like, they're not going to be interested. No way. It's not that interesting. And then they're like, oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's film it. I'm like, oh, snap. Yeah, it was just one of those things, like, I wasn't really comfortable talking about it until, like, a year and a half ago. And even, like, with the car accident, I barely talked about the car accident with people just because I didn't want to become the girl who was in the car wreck again. Because people treat you differently. I do have pictures. I did have some people accuse me of making up the accident. And I'm like, oh, wait, I got pictures. Hang on.
Right.
So, and there's pictures in the book. I mean, there's pictures of me in the hospital and the bruises because, you know, insurance, you had to take pictures of everything, you know, of all the bruises and the totaled car and everything. And I'm like, well, I still have all these photos. So, boom, there you go, everybody.
Right. So sad that in this field, you know, there's always like, that never happened. And it's like, yes, it did. And then you have to, like, prove yourself. And that's the field for us, though. But
yeah,
since you have talked about it, exactly, since you have talked about it and, you know, you've kind of put your story out there, not only with the, you know, the episode, but then doing the book, have you had anything happen? Like, that would maybe make you think it was, like, from him, from the guy?
Yeah, you know, building up to, like, hit, you know, the filming and everything, because I had to go to Atlanta, and ironically, I was just at a surgery, like, 2 months out from, like, having weight loss surgery, so I was, like, once again, under, like, special high maintenance health status, like, I had to stop every 2 hours to, like, take a walk so that I didn't get blood clots, and literally, like, I was just surviving on protein shakes and pintos and cheese from Taco Bell, because if you ever had weight loss surgery, that's what you eat after that. there's a reason why, you know, you drop like 100 pounds in like 2 months.
Right.
So I had to drive to Atlanta. So it gave me, because of COVID, because we were like in the peak COVID status at this time. So because they didn't want me on a plane, because they didn't want me to be risk exposing the crew to COVID if I was on a plane. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I was on a medical leave of absence anyway, and I was like, screw it, let's go to Atlanta. So it gave me a lot of time of sitting in the car, because it was about an 8-hour drive, sitting in the car alone with my thoughts and thinking about, like, okay, telling the story, but also revisiting that whole chapter. And I'm pretty sure he made an appearance in my hotel room the night before filming, because I saw his silhouette, like, against the window, and I kind of just – I can still feel him from time to time. Like, he just has, like, a vibe or an energy to him that I'm like, oh – it's him. But usually it's more of like a check-in thing, not like a, hey buddy, how are you? It's more of like, hey bitch, you still alive? Okay, bye.
Right, you know? Right. Like, at least he knows when to make an exit now, you know?
He does. Yeah, because God, if I could go back, I mean, I would probably have handled that completely differently. Yeah, so it's just more of like I can still feel him around, but I felt him a bit stronger when, you know, the day before filming, and then afterwards, as I was driving back, I could have swore he was in the car with me.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I was kind of putting something out there of like, hey, I'm going to tell your story. Sorry ahead of time if they make you look like an a-hole. Like, I can't really control how they do it. I can't control how they do it, but just letting you know this could happen, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, anytime I've had like a big milestone in my life, Sometimes I kind of pick up on him. Like after I got engaged, I picked up on him a little bit, just very, very subtle. And it lasts no longer than like 30 seconds, but it's one of those like, okay. Like,
right.
You're here. That's fine. Although I think since my mom passed, the appearances have decreased dramatically, and I think that's my mom giving him a butt kicking anytime he tries.
Yeah,
to
she's
come
running
around.
Defense.
yeah, I mean, I can imagine the first time he came around, and she's like, they're like, oh no, like
I've been waiting
happening.
For you. Right here, it's time.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh yeah, because
wow.
my mom experienced him too, and yeah, she yeah. was not. I mean, while she was alive, she was like, nope, not doing this. like, nope.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I could just imagine after she passed and then, you know, it was funny. Like, before she passed, anytime a psychic came into my apartment, they would say, like, you have a lot of transient spirits coming through here. You have a lot of different people coming through, and I think that's just because of what I do. But after she passed, I mean, any of my psychic friends that came to my apartment, they were like, holy cow, it's like it's sterile in here. And there have been times I had been like, mom, you can back off a bit. It's okay. Like it's fine.
Right.
So I can just imagine, yeah, she's probably playing defense. Ironically though, anytime that she's really made herself known, it's been in Gettysburg of all places. Like just, we've never been there together. It's just, that's just where she likes to
choose it.
Pop in.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That's pretty, that's pretty cool though. At least it's like, you know, it's kind of like your place where you can go be like, okay, we need to talk. You can go talk to her there. You know, it's like,
yep.
You can talk to her anywhere, but you know, to feel like you're
for
getting
reason,
the best connection.
Maybe that's it. Like it was just the funniest thing. Like the first time she really came through, like we were doing a spirit box session at it was at the farmhouse with that one Gettysburg tour company. And we were talking to like, I don't know, we thought you know who I'm talking about. We're thinking to like some sort of Union soldier in Gettysburg, and you know, all of a sudden we hear my name on the spirit box, and anytime I hear my name on any devices, I'm kind of like, okay, it's either him about ready to cuss me out, or somebody needs to talk to me. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, okay, Alex is here. What do you need? And then my mom comes through like crystal clear, can hear her voice, and
wow.
Which was a shock to me. And I'm just like, really? In Gettysburg of all places? But the time we did the session was actually Mother's Day. And, you know, we hadn't realized it was Mother's Day. And, but yeah, for some reason, like anytime I'm in Gettysburg and I do a spirit box session, her voice pops up and I'm like, hey mom, it's all good. So,
right.
That's awesome. It's just weird, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's like up there. It's like the reception is better. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
that's pretty cool.
So, and I totally went off track there. Sorry.
oh no, you're all good.
Yeah,
you're all good.
No, my mind was spinning on why that would occur. Maybe because, like you said, there's more activity there, so maybe there's more like guys that
are
gruff,
kind
of like the. Yeah, well, you know, maybe there's more guys that resemble or kind of like give off the same vibe as that guy from the hospital, and she's like overly protective.
I'm gonna make
so
sure I'm
more
here.
Alert,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
Because
if
there's a lot
yeah.
of soldiers, there's probably a lot of guys. Just you know, I always joke around. You never know if you're seeing like a reenactment person or a ghost. You know, my joke got old. A lot of times I would.
I know,
like,
but
hey,
I still use
think that's
it
a real person.
So that working in a tourist town like that, you can totally throw it to the guests who come in and go, they're like, is there a reenactment going on? And I'm like, I'm not sure, you know, honestly, because being a paranormal investigator, I just sometimes feel like I need to go pinch them to see if they're real. And they all start laughing. And it's just funny to see how many times you can reuse that one. It works a lot, just in case you ever want to try it.
It's one of those jokes they keep on giving, I guess.
They do, because then the people keep coming, and they're all different people, so it's always a great one. It's like a
interpretation of that, is that there's probably a lot of soldiers that are rough, and if they're still around, maybe your mom is sensing that. If she's like on alert already from a guy, you know, being
maybe.
That way.
Right,
so.
Yeah, it's funny because I was there on Saturday. I was there on Saturday because my fiance had never been before, and I was like, you know, let's do a day trip. And I actually saw quite a few people dressed up, and a part of me was like, are they a ghost? But then I saw one of them carrying around a smartphone, and I'm like, okay.
That's your dead giveaway. Yeah, no, that was actually Saturday I used that one. That was the last time I used that because I had people say, there's a whole lot of people who are wearing, you know, the get up, as they call it. And they're like, is there a reenactment? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. Go pinch them and find out if they're real. No, they're all.
That's
the best. Yeah, I don't know. I was honest. I'm very honest. So I was like, I'm not really sure, but I did happen to notice quite a few as well. In fact, I had this one guy who kept banging this, like, walking stick as he was walking, and he was wearing shoes that had, like, it sounded like tap shoes. And he kept walking through the garden area, and I'm like, okay, we know he's coming. I kind of got annoyed. I honestly wanted to rip his walking stick away. But, you know, so I specifically noticed that there were plenty of people, including the guy with the walking stick banging, in town. So it was weird. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. So always makes you wonder. And it was cold.
Yeah.
It was so cold in Gettysburg on Saturday. And I'm like, how is anybody out here in the getup? Cause it's
exactly.
Cold. I mean,
there's wool, but yeah, not enough wool for Saturday. Saturday was just really, really frigid. So, I don't know. Maybe it's warmer than they look.
Yeah. I guess. Because we ended up leaving like around 4 or 5 because we were too cold.
Yeah.
Like, we're done.
Yep.
Definitely.
Well, the one thing I did take from hearing your story is I wonder if when I was under, if the lady who said, wake up, you know, you got to breathe, if that was really the nurse or someone else. I'll never know.
I mean, you know, it's funny because that was probably the only time I've had a really vivid anesthesia dream. You know, because when I had my weight loss surgery, it was like I blinked. Like, literally, it felt like I just blinked. This case, it was like, no, I feel like I'm in a room and this guy is just circling me and telling me off. That's fantastic. This is exactly where I want to be.
Yay. Totally.
So in conclusion, we do have that contest. We're going to be running a contest, give away a copy or maybe a couple copies or maybe something else. We haven't really put the full details together, but there will be a contest for a signed copy of the book running by Friday on liveparanormal.com, ghosthunting.com, and all associated social media pages. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's kind of a way to throw some more excitement into the website, the book, and get people you know, going to buy it. And so with the contest, and that being said, if people don't want to just wait and see if they win or not, where can they buy the book? Where do you send people to buy it?
So you can get a copy off of Amazon. I also have my Etsy shop, which is currently in vacation mode, but I'm going to take it off of vacation mode actually tonight, so that you know, people can, you can actually buy a signed copy off of my Etsy shop, because if you want a signed copy and don't want to, you know, deal with, you know, Amazon, you should be able to deal with Amazon, but you know, if you're willing to pay for some shipping, you can get a signed copy off my Etsy shop, which is if you search the spooky stuff on Etsy, you should be able to find it, or, you know, just look for my name. And yeah.
Awesome. Very cool.
Well, we appreciate having you on tonight and talking about you, not just what's going on in the world of paranormal and, you know, a little back and forth, but actually, you know, talking about what, how you started and, you know, this amazing book. So thanks for joining us.
And I'm glad you're here. Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I mean, this was really fun.
Awesome.
No, it was great. And I hopefully, you know, we'll generate a lot of excitement for the book because it got me, I might read it in full. And in fact, I have not read a book.
That didn't have pictures, right?
No, it doesn't have to have
pictures. There's pictures in this book, too. So, you know, just in
case.
Is
it a lot of pictures? Is it mostly pictures? Because then I'll definitely read it.
Not mostly pictures, but there are pictures.
Just for me. Like
a
20-page
picture book. Just for Rob. Okay. I can do that. Graphic novel.
There you go. Right up our alley.
Or an audiobook would be great.
I'm mulling over the idea of a audiobook. I've actually gotten a lot of requests for
one. I love that idea because I really don't have time to read, but I am in the car a good bit. It gives me a chance to, you know, feel like I'm reading, but I'm driving. I like it. You should do that.
I'm in the car more than a little bit. I'm in a car a lot bit. And, you know, it would be – and I would say I'm going to do audiobooks, but I never do. But I tend to wait from, like – I don't put any fast-paced music on or anything because then I tend to speed. So anything like that would take away from that would be great.
That would be good. Very cool.
So
well, thank you so much for coming on. And everyone, hang out for that giveaway information. We'll be up by Friday.
Yes.
Yes. Awesome.
Cool.
Thanks.
All right. Well, we will talk to you soon.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll talk to you.
Yeah.
Take care, dear. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Wow, that's just absolutely crazy. Like, oh my God, I just can't even believe I didn't know about that. And like, and it's just, I'm just so glad that, you know, things worked out and she's here, because that's a lot.
Yes, and I think that it's, you know, it's an interesting take because we've heard a lot of like stories from the hospital.
Right.
A lot of near-death experiences and a lot of people who've died. And, you know, but we've never heard one where they've actually then been haunted by a spirit that they were in a close, you know, proximity with that happening. So, you know, it's interesting, too, because it's a lot of questions, like, was that guy having an out-of-body experience at the same time, and that's why? You know, and then they made that connection then. You know, I guess we could break that down.
We could probably come up with a bajillion questions, like that, It definitely
makes no one would know the answer to. Unanswerable. Nope. Just a bunch
of
theories.
Until we are on the other side, I don't think we'll be able to fully answer those questions. And even then, I don't know. We'll have to find out. I guess that
and
would be like
we'll
a
have
to be continued.
A couple weeks before. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Unanswerable questions.
Yes. Things to do when we're on the other side. We'll add this to our list. These we need answered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about the giveaway. Can I put in to win or no?
Yeah, we didn't set any kind of regulations.
Woohoo! Don't worry, I won't win, people. I'll just have to buy it. I know my luck. But no,
it'll be the complete opposite. You won't win. You'll buy a copy, and it'll get like lost in the mail from Amazon. It'll be the one time that they're like, "No, you can't have a refund." So you have to end up buying multiple before you can get a chance to read. And then you'll
maybe
get
I'll
that
just
one
have
and
to
then
download
you'll
it or
it.
Something. I'll have to download it to my Kindle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
definitely.
I guess we will talk to everyone in our next episode, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you then, or listen to us then. Bye.
Yeah, don't get in an accident. And then I have a 5-minute rundown on what really will happen. Because I was like, see you later. And they're like, well, they won't be seeing us. And
yeah, we won't go that route.
No, let's just go. All right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Bye, everybody.